This is a CBC podcast. If you like Q, the podcast with Gian Gomeshi, you'll love QTV, featuring full-length interviews with personalities from the world of arts and culture. Subscribe to Q's video podcast at cbc.ca/podcasting.
Well, as you probably would have guessed, we are big fans of little record stores here at the Vinyl Cafe. We are, after all, a show about a little record store. According to the owner, it's one of the smallest record stores around. His motto, we may not be big, but we're small. So, yes, we like record stores, small and big, but especially small. Those places where you can go every week and recognize what's new on the shelves. Those places where the owners know you by name and, better still, know, probably before you do, what album you're heading home with. I have been lucky over these past few years to have had a chance to visit a lot of little record stores across the country. And while there are similarities, most have a staff pick section, for instance, which is always where I head to, and most have knowledgeable staff and most encourage loitering. But each shop is different, too. And it's those differences that I've always found interesting, and I thought maybe you would, too. So today on the show, we're going to visit five of my favorite Canadian record stores. They know we're going to call, and we've asked them all to choose the music we play on the show. Why today? Well, because today's International Record Store Day, that's why. What better reason than that? I thought we'd start on the East Coast and work our way west. So we're going to begin with a wonderful little record shop in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, a place that I visited most recently this spring, Back Alley Music. We're going to the phones.
Hello, Back Alley Music.
Hi, is Ian there, please?
Speaking.
Ian, it's Stuart McLean speaking.
Stuart, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very well.
So you know we're phoning record stores across the country.
Yes.
How long have you guys been open now?
We've been open for about 2 years ourselves, a little more than that, and we revived an existing store that had been here, a bit of a staple in the local music community.
There was a story about how you bought it, that...
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of an interesting story. My wife, Michelle, had a chance meeting with the previous owner, Chaz Gay, who's a musician locally in town, and she could better tell that story than myself.
Is she there?
Yes, she is.
Put her on.
Okay.
Hello.
Is it Michelle?
Yes. Hi, Stuart. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Ian was just about to tell us the story of how you bought the record store.
Yes. I had just happened to bump into Chaz one day, and the store had been closed for several months at that time. And he said, you know, I can't unload these assets. And I said, well, I'll buy them. And I just decided on the spot that I was going to figure out how to open and run a little record store because it was well-needed service in our community. So,
What overcame you? What was the impulse?
I've had a few times in my life where a decision just feels like it's the perfect thing to do, even though logic would tell you it's not. And this was one of those moments where it made perfect sense. My, at the time, boyfriend, who's now my husband, had just moved over here, and I thought, now this is a bit of a match made in heaven. He can run the store, and I can give lots of ideas, and I can be his boss. That was kind of attractive, too.
You could be management. He could be labor.
That's right. So it's just been so much fun.
Put Ian back on the phone.
Okay, just one sec.
Hello.
So one day, your wife phones you and says, I think I'm going to buy a record store.
Yeah.
And it's worked.
Yeah, it's kind of non-profit for a lot of the hours that we put in. Yeah, but the pay dirt is, a lot of the mandate would have been, you know, the mission of the business would be, could we have it exist in the downtown, in Charlottetown? Could we employ a couple of musicians whose heart and soul is in playing music and sort of providing the soundtrack of the lives of a lot of local people, and give them a shove along the way when they're trying to pay a few bills. And it's been win-win on all those counts. And then we kind of have a cool little spot that people say on a daily basis, you know, great spot, I'll be back, you know.
What do you do differently from other stores?
I think I don't know too many other stores that would really operate with such a community focus in mind, where we kind of open our doors with fundraisers and holding community group meetings with international development sort of focuses after hours, and our fundraisers, and we sell fair trade coffee. And
was this something you planned on doing when you bought the store?
Sorry? Oh, someone's just coming in there, sorry.
Sounds like a party going on there.
Oh, we just had someone drop in the store here, one of the local musicians, Joey Kitson, who plays with Rollins Cross. He just came in here with his family.
But put him on. Is he there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. I'll put him on, yeah. Okay. Feel like you're talking to Stuart McLean,
sure.
Joey? Here he is.
Hi, Stuart. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Not too bad, brother.
We got you on the radio here right now.
Oh, great. Perfect.
We're just phoning in, talking about his record store. How would you describe it?
Oh, it's amazing. Anything. If you can't find it here, it doesn't exist. It's unbelievable. We're just looking at some Kiss LPs, actually. I'm here with my 7-year-old who has a fascination with the rock band Kiss.
You got trouble coming your way.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping he gets through his rock phase and moves into jazz by the time he's maybe 10, so...
Huh.
Some easy listening music, maybe, in through his teens.
Yeah, you wish.
Yeah, exactly.
How often do you go in?
I usually pop in probably about once a week. It's like when my wife doesn't know I'm out spending money on music, but she's away this week, so I was able to sneak in here. I got the kids, so anytime I can sneak in, I take advantage of it.
They'll never know now.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We'll just keep
she's in Mexico, so I don't know if this is going to air in Mexico. I hope not. You never know on the internet.
That's true. You might be in deep trouble.
Exactly.
Let me talk to Ian again.
Okay, sounds good. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to
okay.
you.
Okay. There you go, brother.
Hello again.
Thanks so much, Ian. It was great talking to you.
Thanks very much for calling, Stuart. It's been a pleasure.
With the pleasure of mine. You've chosen a song for us, too, I think.
Yeah, we have one of our favorite live bands to go see. Just great stuff. Nudie and the Turks, Who is Handsome Ned?
Okay, here, Nudie and the Turks, then, with Who Was Handsome Ned, and that's thanks to Ian and Michelle down at Back Alley Music in Charlottetown.
Who was handsome Ned? They say he was a hit. A Queen Street cowboy. And now he is dead. Who is handsome Ned? Ned liked to play his guitar. He was the king of these bars. But I never hear about that or the songs that he'd sing. Said he was a junkie. He seemed to know everything. Handsome Ned. I was standing alone in your hall, looking at the frames on the wall, when you pointed him out. See, I knew him well. Was with him that night at the Cameron Hotel. Now that gives me a big story. Sing, or the sound that his combo would bring, just that he had a taste like Sydney and Bristol. This ain't the Chelsea, and it wasn't a pistol. Queen Street cowboy, and now he is dead. Tell me who's handsome then.
That was Nudie and the Turks singing about Handsome Ned, a singer from the Queen Street West scene in the 1980s. And that was sent out and chosen by Ian and Michelle at Back Alley Music in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. And in case you're just tuning in, we are celebrating International Record Store Day here on the Vinyl Cafe. We're talking to our favorite independent Canadian record stores, and we're letting them choose the music. Next up, Backstreet Records in St. John, New Brunswick. We're going to give Gordy Tufts a call right now.
Hello.
Gordy Tufts, is that you?
It is indeed.
It's Stuart McLean speaking.
Hi, Stuart. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Very well.
So we're phoning record stores across the country today.
I've been told.
And you're one of my favorites. Have you got a minute to talk?
Sure. Yeah.
What is your all-time favorite moment in your record store?
You know, there's many, but one of them for me is when you and John and Dennis came into the store. Dennis Pendrith, of course, John Shear, your piano player, Dennis the bass player, and yourself, and you're browsing through the shop, and you pick up an Olivia Newton-John record, and you say, "Didn't you play with her, John?" And John says, "Yes." And you say to John, "Well, what was she like?" And John says, "Well, I don't know. I never met her." I thought it was brilliant, and that's the recording. You know, that's how people do things. They just send it overseas, and John did his piano part, and he never met the woman. But to have that happen in the shop was a special moment.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How much are albums in your store? How much for a vinyl?
So you're talking a new record?
Well, let's go with used first.
Okay, used? Oh, my. They start at 10 cents. 10 cents up to, what's the most expensive record we've ever sold? Oh, my. The Beatles Butcher cover came into the store.
Whoa.
And we had $350 on it, and that would have been in the mid-80s.
This is the cover, this is the album cover where they were shot holding a bunch of dolls that had been, they were all in butcher cloaks or coats and white coats, and they were blood splattered, and they were holding these hacked up dolls, and it went to market and then was very quickly pulled back. And,
exactly.
And I think, what album is that? I forget the name.
It would have been record called Yesterday and Today.
Yesterday and Today. And then they brought the album back, and then they just stuck a new picture.
Cover over it.
Over
exactly.
It, yeah. So you can...
And the story that I have on this is that the chap that brought it into Backstreet was from Moncton, and his story is he was sick at home in Moncton. His parents went to the States for the weekend, because if I'm right, I don't think this record was ever available in Canada. So this record was bought in Calais, Maine, and brought back to Moncton. He was reading a teen magazine, and this would have been, 1966 maybe? He was reading a teen magazine and read about the cover being a pasteover, as you say, and it gave instructions on how to steam the cover off. He spent a week steaming the pasteover off the butcher cover, and I have to say that he did an excellent job.
Huh.
Yeah.
And where is it today?
It's in my collection, and it just sits there. Every now and then, I think, just taking it in and putting it on the wall and saying, sorry, it's not for sale. But I haven't done that yet.
Huh.
Maybe tomorrow.
You got to do that. Would you ever listen to that record?
Have I played that? That's a good question. Do you know what? I don't think I have. I've kept it in the case.
I think you have to bring it into the store and play it like on Paul McCartney's birthday every year or something like that.
Oh, isn't that? Okay.
Somebody's birthday.
It's somebody's birthday, yes. Yeah. Make it an event.
Gordy, it's lovely talking to you today.
Well, thank you, Stuart. What an honor to be included on your Cross Canada Record Store tour. I'm just lost for words. Thank you.
Well, it's our pleasure, our honor. Did you choose a song for us?
Yes, yes, I did indeed. Catherine McClellan's Long Time. I'd love to hear that.
Okay, here we go. She's playing. I think she's on tour these days.
Yeah, actually, she's going to be playing tomorrow night at the Blue Olive here in St. John.
Catherine McClellan now with Long Time, courtesy of Gordy Tufts of Backstreet Records in St. John, New Brunswick. Gordy, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Stuart.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Was Catherine McClellan with her song Long Time. She wrote that song for her dad, Gene McClellan, who died in 1995, and it was chosen today by Gordy Tufts, the owner of Backstreet Records in St. John, New Brunswick. I think there's a Backstreet in Fredericton, too, but I haven't been to that one. Next up, Criminal Records in Toronto. I first met the guys who run Criminal Records, Paul and his buddy Josh, in Northern Ontario up in Huntsville. They ran a shop there called Queen Street North. Well, they've relocated to Queen Street in Toronto. We're going to get them on the line now. Josh said he would be working today.
Criminal Records.
Is Josh there?
This is Josh.
Josh, it's Stuart McLean speaking.
Hello, Stuart. How's it going?
I'm fine. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
You know why I'm calling?
Of course. Of course.
We're in the middle of our cross Canada tour of record stores here.
Excellent. How's it going?
It's going I'm having very much fun. We're having a good time. Thank you for asking.
No problem.
Your store's more than just a record store, and you price records differently than a lot of places.
We do. When we opened up down here, we had to sort of think about how we could do music differently. So we thought, since no one's really making money from CDs anymore, we thought we wouldn't either. So we basically sell all of our CDs at cost.
Now, is that just a money thing, selling as many CDs as you can? Are you just trying to make money on a small margin?
Well, unfortunately, with our CDs, when you factor in all the added costs of selling CDs, the rent for the space and the lights that light them, we actually lose money on our CDs.
That doesn't sound like a good business plan.
On the surface, it doesn't sound like a good idea, and we never, made a case for us being, great businessmen. We're certainly not the best capitalists on earth, but in the end, it does come around because people can afford to buy more CDs and buy more records. But in doing that, they can also buy things like T-shirts, and they can buy things like screen-printed posters. Another reason why we do that is we are among a select few who report to SoundScan. And Nielsen SoundScan is a group that collects data on music that helps basically keep track of how many have sold. When you hear that a record has gone silver or platinum, those numbers are based on that. Now, unfortunately, most people who report to Nielsen SoundScan are larger stores, which is why you often see the scales tilted in, the mainstream's favor, so to speak. You'll quite often see that, Britney Spears is number one, but, Feist might be nowhere to be seen. It's almost like having a federal election, but only the big cities count. So we're doing our bit for King and Country, not only just for the prestige of saying that they have a gold record, but also it helps entitle bands to government grants.
But doesn't every record store do this?
They don't, no. And one of the big reasons is cost. It's kind of bizarre, but we actually have to pay to submit these numbers. We also have to have a particular type of software to do so. So it actually costs us a pretty penny on a monthly basis.
How much?
When all said and done, it costs us almost $500 a month.
It's a lot of scratch.
It is. But record labels appreciate it, bands appreciate it, and we're big believers in karma, and it comes around. We're just doing our best for music, especially Canadian music, because it's important to us. So,
thanks so much for talking to me today, Josh.
Thank you, Stuart.
Before you go, have you got a song for me?
Yeah, I'd love to hear "Long Road" by Cuff the Duke from 2007 "Sidelines of the City."
Why?
They're a great band. They've always been really good friends of the store. But beyond all that, it's a great Canadian song by a great Canadian band.
Cuff the Duke. Thanks so much.
The one and only. Thanks a lot, Stuart.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Well, this story starts before the end. We were driving east, heading home again. We had a few American shows, starting in Chicago. Oh, it's such a long, long road. But it was somewhere in Saskatchewan. A storm rolled in, but we carried on, driving through the night, till we noticed the gas light. Oh, it's such a long, long road. Oh, it's such a long, long road. Ooh.
was the Toronto band Cuff the Duke with their song Long Road, and that was picked by Paul and Josh, who run Criminal Records in Toronto. I'm Stuart McLean, and you're listening to The Vinyl Cafe, and in honor of International Record Store Day, we're spending today's show talking to five of our favorite independent record stores across the country. Next up, Blackbird Music in Edmonton.
Hello,
is Arthur there, please?
Speaking.
Arthur, it's Stuart McLean speaking from CBC Radio.
Hi, Stuart.
How are you?
I'm fine.
We're phoning record store owners across the country today and just talking about their stores.
Awesome. Well, I own a record store.
Tell me about it.
I've had the store for about 15 years. It's a small store. I know you're familiar with small record stores. But we have good product. We have good music in our store. A small quantity of stuff, but everything's good.
What do you have in your store that's interesting right now?
I'd say the most unusual thing is we have lots of vinyl. We have lots and lots of records.
Vinyl's coming back, isn't it?
It definitely is on an upsurge, which is a good thing at this moment in time, definitely, because CD sales are down, but record sales, vinyl record sales are way up.
What percentage of your business would be vinyl these days?
I would have to say easily 50% of, gross sales, 50% of everything I sell every day is brand new record.
Why do you think that's happening?
I'd have to say the main reason really is because I think you're getting something for your money. You're getting a package, you're getting the cover art, you're getting something with heft and weight and sound quality, really, which a lot of people, it's not as convenient, but the sound quality is far superior for most people anyway. I mean, I do understand the convenience of digital downloading and CDs, of course, but that, in a way, that's just been a boon for the record and for the vinyl sales anyway, because people are very knowledgeable. They know what they want. They come into my store and they buy it on vinyl. They probably already have it downloaded, but they gladly pay out the money to buy the record version of it or the vinyl version of it.
Huh. These days with the internet and digital downloads, there's not the need for a record store there was in the 1950s and 60s and 70s. When do you think it's going to end?
Well, I've been thinking it's going to end for the last few years. If I only listened to the news, I'd be thinking it'd be ending any day now. But it seems to persevere and survive. So I couldn't say. That's a very good question. Things are going to change. Things are changing. But I think definitely for the near future, though. There's room for a good record store in everyone's neighborhood.
Arthur, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Very best.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And we got time now for one last stop. We're going to Vancouver Island to a little record store, well, not so little enough, called Fascinating Rhythm. The first time I stumbled upon this store, I rushed back to the theater to grab the rest of the Vinyl Cafe crew, musical director John Sheard, bass player Dennis Pendrith, and producer Jess Milton. You've got to see this, I said to Jess. This is the Vinyl Cafe. When I created the fictional world of Dave's Vinyl Cafe, the world's smallest record store, I had no idea what the place looked like, but I knew what it felt like. Fascinating Rhythm isn't a perfect recreation. It's a little big for starters, but it is friendly enough to be the Vinyl Cafe, and its stock is good enough or rare enough, and the store is full enough and messy enough, that's for sure. And the guy who runs it, Steve, is pretty great, and we're going to give him a call right now.
Hello?
Steve?
Yes, hi.
Stuart McLean speaking, Vinyl Cafe.
Oh, hi, Stuart. Good to hear from you.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
We're phoning record stores across the country today, and we started in Prince Edward Island an hour ago, and now we've arrived at your store.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel really good. But all my hard work is being appreciated.
I would say some of the charm of your store is not your hard work. It's like that buried couch. there was a couch in your store. You pointed at the couch and you said, on Saturday mornings, there'll be two or three record collectors sitting on that couch talking to me. And I looked and all I could see were piles of LPs.
Yeah, that's right. We do have some regular customers that come in on Saturday mornings just to see what's come in this week, and we all just sit around and drink coffee, and some of them compare tattoos and among other things, and then exchange records and talk about whatever comes up. Huh. And some of them have been coming in for almost 20 years since I opened in 1988. So I made good friends with some of those fellows.
Let's go back and just describe the store for a moment before we get into that.
Sure. Well, it's really the accumulation of, like I say, 20 years of buying collections, estate sales, people bringing in music-related items. Not just records or CDs. We have lots of old radios, turntables. We go back to Edison cylinders, 78 players, sheet music magazines, record cases, the list goes on and on, posters, almost anything music-related can be found here. But I am certainly guilty of buying too much stuff. I've got a soft spot for anything that's at all unusual or interesting. Whether or not I think there's a market for it, I'll always buy anything interesting, music-related, and I've got to break myself of that habit. Eventually.
That sounds like something you might have said to yourself before.
Oh, yeah, and repeatedly, but I certainly don't provide a very good return on investment, but I make enough to, you know, indulge my lifestyle, I suppose. It's more of a lifestyle thing than a business, really. But I do have to make enough to pay the mortgage, etc.
Tell me about a Saturday morning and what happens when these regulars come in on Saturdays. What's that like?
Oh, it's fun to see the regular fellas, and they're about maybe a half a dozen guys that they've all become friends with one another. Most of them didn't know one another before they started coming to the store, and that's really nice. And they have, some of them have similar interests in collecting records, and some of them have totally different interests than from one from the other. But they're all into records. These fellows, it's all vinyl for them, and not only that, but most of them are into the original issues of the records. So they may be looking for a record, and they've been looking for it for years and years and years. And I might get a reissue of that title, and the reissue could be, you know, a brand new heavy vinyl, perfect quality, $20 record. But they want the original, even though the original is going to cost them, you know, perhaps hundreds for the same title. They're holding out for the original, and that's an interesting mindset of collectors. Sometimes they just have to have the real thing.
Are you a collector?
Well, I used to be. Before I opened the store, that's what it led me to open my own record store. And I love record covers, really, it's the striking record covers, so I've got a bit of a collection of those.
What's your all-time favorite cover?
Oh, that's a good one. There are a few. Well, I like some of the Martin Denny covers, the earlier ones, like the Hypnotique and the Aphrodisia with the Sandy Warner was the model that they used on the early Martin Denny covers.
I've never heard of Martin Denny.
It's kind of an exotic South Sea type of music with the
bongos?
Bird calls in the background and things like that. It's just kind of very evocative and fun to listen to when you're drinking your Mai Tai or sitting around in your, you know, on your patio.
Is there a candle and a glass of wine then?
Oh, that kind of thing. Sure,
okay, I got it.
And, yeah. And I enjoy covers with the dancers on the cover and having a good time and lots of bongo drums and you know, just fun covers and sometimes they're just so bad they're good too.
I just bought a cowboy album. It was at Rex Allen Jr., and he's all in, like, he is in, no cowboy in the world has ever dressed like this guy. He's in, like, a spacesuit, like, skin-tight blue pants and shirt, all one, it's a one-piece, and he's got guns strapped to his holster, and he's got the gun out, and he's staring out at you.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I love some of the fashions from the decades gone by, for sure, and the hairstyles and
what's the most valuable record you've ever owned?
I haven't had any of the real monsters.
What are the real monsters?
I think the most valuable Canadian record is by a band called Bent Wind, and I've never seen a copy of that. And it sells for, you know, in the thousands of dollars. Exactly how much these days, I'm not sure.
Bent Wind,
yeah. But The Haunted from Montreal, that's another one that's a good $1,000 plus album.
And I owned it once.
Did you? Oh,
well,
yeah.
Of course I did.
But a lot of Canadian bands from the 60s, the psychedelic bands or the garage bands, are highly desirable. The Rain Ghost, Rockadrome, Jarvis Street Review. These records are really, really rare. I only get a couple like that in a year of looking through thousands of records. And like I said, some of the really rare ones I've never even seen.
Hey, I was talking to Gordy Tufts from Backstreet Records in St. John a little while ago, and he has a copy of the Butcher Block album, the Beatles Butcher cover.
Right.
How much would you give him for that?
It really depends. You know, the stereo one's worth quite a bit more than the mono, and then it depends on whether it's been peeled or not.
It's been peeled, yeah. His has been peeled.
It's a peeled one, yeah. Because, you know, they're better. Well, the first state ones are the ones that never got pasted over in the first place. And then if you find one that hasn't been peeled, but you can tell that it's the paste over, that's worth more than if you peel it off. So it really depends on the condition, what kind of peel job it was. And you have to check the auctions and see what they're selling for. But, you know, it's certainly in the several hundred dollar range. But exactly how much, it depends on the condition.
Hmm. Yeah. Tell me now about the record that you never had that you want. What record do you keep looking for?
Well, personally, because I don't really collect so much myself anymore. It used to be music for Rat Pink Lovers, but I got a copy of that a few years back. That was a good one.
What was it called?
Music for Rat Pink Lovers. it's got a great cover, and it's got a great number of songs. And you'll during the song there'll be a pause, and there'll be a woman voice come out and say, "Oh, you Rat Fink!" It's just a hilarious record. Right? I just love it.
What's on the cover?
Yeah, well, on the cover, it has various pictures of women, or a couple of them, they're just pictures of their legs or their eyes or different provocative poses. And it lists things like swingers, flingers, and ring-a-ding-dingers, liars, criers, and out-of-town buyers, losers, choosers, and credit card boozers.
These are the sort of people that this record's supposed to appeal to, or it's about?
I think these are the rat thinks that they're referring to. But that was number one on my want list for a few years, and it finally showed up in a collection, and that made me really happy, and it's also in great shape. So it's a fun listen.
Huh. Steve, thanks so much.
Thanks for calling, Stuart, and look forward to seeing you again when you come to town next.
For sure, you will.
Okay.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today's show. There are many record stores we didn't get to that we would have liked to. Fred's in St. John's, Newfoundland, for example. Mega Tunes in Calgary, Zulu in Vancouver. I could go on, and I will too, but not here because we're running out of time. I'll post a list online, all my favorite record stores, and you can check that out on our website at vinylcafe.com. And while you're there, you can find out about a show we have coming up. We just booked a show in Gatineau, Quebec at the Museum of Civilization in Gatineau. And in case you aren't up on your geography, Gatineau used to be called Hull, and that's right across the river from Ottawa. So if you happen to be heading to the nation's capital for Canada Day, come a few days early because we'll be there at the end of June. We're going to be recording two radio shows when we're there. We have two very special musical guests and two brand new Dave and Morley stories. So that's the Vinyl Cafe live in concert at the end of June in Gatineau, Quebec. Okay, that really is all the time we have this week. Thanks, as always, to Anton Szabo for the technical assistance. David Amers, the founding producer of the Vinyl Cafe. Louise Curtis is the production assistant. Julie Penner is the music producer. Meg Masters is the long-suffering story editor. The Vinyl Cafe is produced by Jess Milton. I'm Stuart McLean, and we're going to send our last dance out today to anybody who works in a record store anywhere. This is Twilight Hotel with Viva La Vinyl. So long for now.
tenement shadow in the windows, crumbling the pediment, soft and warm. Perfect measurements.
33, 45, 78, 16. It's alright, it's okay if you dig that sound and never give it away. We got all night, your best day. People of vinyl, let the record play.
On the table, practice your favorite moves to
33, 45, 78, 16. It's alright, it's okay if you dig that sound and never give it away. We got all night, your best day. Viva La Vinyl, let the record play.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.